From New York City, we bring you a new Dr. Christian Prize play, starring Gene Herschel as Dr. Christian, and presented for your enjoyment by the Cheese Brew Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. As the makers of Vaseline Hair Tonic, we're mighty proud of our customers. We think they're just about the best-looking group of men and women that you could find anywhere. If you're not yet using Vaseline Hair Tonic, consider what it can do for you. If you have a good-looking head of hair to start with, Vaseline Hair Tonic will top that by making your hair look even better. Or suppose you have dry scalp, as so many millions of men and women do. Vaseline Hair Tonic will fight dry scalp and many of the unattractive things that come with it. Loose dandruff, tight, itchy scalp, and brittle, lifeless, unmanageable hair. Vaseline Hair Tonic is the right thing to use because it actually supplements the natural scalp oils needed for good-looking, healthy-looking hair. Different from most preparations, it contains absolutely no drying ingredient. Here's how to get double care, both scalp and hair. Before every shampoo, massage the scalp briskly with plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic. This loosens dandruff scales and relieves that dry, itchy feeling in the scalp. After the shampoo, rub a little Vaseline Hair Tonic directly on the scalp to check dryness and keep the hair naturally good-looking. For hair that looks good and a scalp that feels good, use Vaseline Hair Tonic right along. Get a bottle tonight, only 40 or 70 cents. The author of tonight's prize play, Fields of Corn, is a war worker employed as production clerk at the Lockheed plant in Los Angeles. His name is Clark Davis. He's 29 years old. He was born in Goliad, Texas, and attended high school and the University of Texas in that state. We think you'll all agree Fields of Corn is a splendid play. All the more so since it represents the author's first attempt at a radio play. He began trying to write in earnest after he was put in Class 4F for the Army. He tells us that he's already acquired enough rejection slips to paper a room, but he's kept doggedly at it, taking on such jobs as dishwashing when he had to keep the pot boiling. He sold a few short stories to the magazines and is now, in his spare time, engaged on a novel. The cast of the play includes Dr. Christian, played by Gene Herschel, Judy Price, the doctor's secretary, Jim Brown, a farmer and veteran of World War I, with a well-known stage and radio star Jack Arthur in the role. And incidentally, Jack Arthur himself is a veteran of World War I. Jim Brown's son, Howard Brown, is played by Bill Quinn, and his wife, Martha, is played by Helen Clare, young Broadway star. The opening scene takes place in Dr. Christian's office, and the time is summer 1942. And so, the curtain rises.
Good morning, Mr. Brown.
Good morning. Is the doctor in?
Yes, he is. He'll be free any minute.
Thanks, Judy.
How does Howard like life on the farm?
He likes it okay.
Has he given up flying altogether?
I doubt it. He's been crazy about planes since he was born. But he's needed here now, on the farm.
Well, I suppose it is just as patriotic to raise food.
Well, good morning, Jim.
Morning.
How's the corn crop?
Oh, can't complain. Prospects never look better.
Mr. Brown always has the prize corn of River County.
Did you want to see me, Jim?
Yes.
Well, come into my private office, then. Sit down that chair, Jim. Now, what brings you here on such a fine morning?
It's not me, Doctor. It's my boy, Howard. He's not well.
What seems to be the matter with Howard?
Well, you see, it's like this. Howard's not very strong, and lately he doesn't seem to have much pep.
What are you talking about? Why, that boy of yours is as strong as a young bull. And as far as pep is concerned, well, he's probably in love with that Lester girl.
No, it's not that at all, Doctor. I think maybe it might be his heart. You know, his mother died of heart trouble when he was born.
Yes, Jim, I know. I brought Howard into the world.
And now he's 24.
Bless me, is it possible?
Yes, Howard was a war baby, you know.
Yeah, so he was. Born while you were in France. Now he's a fine, upstanding young fellow. The picture of health.
That's what I always thought. Till lately.
What's the matter, Jim? Are you afraid this war is going to take your boy away from you? That's right, isn't it?
Well, partly. how it's all I've got left to keep me close to Martha. And I just can't let him go through what I did.
I don't understand what you mean, Jim.
Remember, Doctor, how Martha and I had just gotten married when the war came on? I was young and full of patriotism, just like Howard is today. They were all my pals, Pete Smith, little Joey Edwards, Cran Thompson, and all the boys I was raised with. We all managed to get into the same company.
Yes, I remember.
Well, I was the only one to come back.
But, Jim,
wait.
You...
Let me finish. When I came back home, Martha was gone. And there was little Howard, the living image of his mother. If it hadn't been for that baby, I guess I would have gone crazy. There hasn't been a night since I came back that I haven't had horrible dreams. I wake up sweating and thinking I'm lying in the mud someplace in France with a bayonet in my back or something worse. Oh, you just can't know what it is, Dr. Christian. And I'm not going to let my boy know either if I can help it.
What is it you want me to do, Jim?
I've got $1,000 in the bank, Dr. Christian. It's all yours if you'll just pronounce my boy unfit for military duty.
I'm sorry, Jim, but I can't do it.
Why not, Dr. Christian? Why not? No one will ever know I came here, and I'll do anything you say.
Someone will know you came here, Jim.
Who?
Two people. My conscience and I. You're one of my good friends, Jim. You were among my first patients when I hung out my shingle here in Riversend. I knew your father and your mother. I would do anything in the world for you. But I can't do this. You see, Jim, I'm an American, same as you are. I love my home and my country. I owe them to you and all the men who fought and died in all the wars in the past so that I might have them. I know how you feel, but why don't you go home and think it over? I think you'll see it in a little different light then.
I've got my mind made up. If you won't do it for me, I guess some other doctor will.
All right, Jim. Some other doctor will have to, if that is the way it is to be.
Okay, if that's the kind of a friend you are.
Well, what did you do to Jim Brown? He flew out of here like crazy.
He was upset about something.
And you're upset, too. Can I help?
No, Judy. What else have we on the docket for today?
Oh, there's the Edwards there. Mr. Edwards called and says it looks like it'll be tonight.
Too bad I couldn't get her to come into the hospital.
Oh, but I can see their point. Mrs. Edwards is perfectly all right, and they do want their child born under the ancestral roof.
I'll have my bag ready. It's 10 miles out of the Edwards place, and as sure as you're alive, it'll be a midnight call.
Storm coming up. Look at those dark clouds banked along the horizon.
I guess I'd better see to the stock.
Guess you better, son. Oh, the wind is coming up. Look at those leaves sailing by.
Yeah. Look like camouflaged airplanes, don't they?
Now, Howard.
Don't worry, Dad. I'm sorry about our quarrel this morning. If you don't want me to volunteer for the Air Corps, well, that's that. I'll do anything you say.
I hoped you'd see it that way. You know, you're all I've got, son.
Yes, Dad. I know.
Now, you'd better get your work done before it gets too dark. Come on. I'll give you a hand.
It's going to be a wet night for me to go courting.
Sarah?
Sure. Who else?
You and Sarah planning to get married, son?
Sure. She'll make up her mind.
And you talk about enlisting in the Air Corps. What does she think of that?
She wants me to go. I'm no slacker, Dad. She wants me to do my part.
Do your part. What does patriotism mean anymore, anyway? What is your duty? I went last time. What good did it do? This war is the same old story over again, only worse and more of it. Senseless slaughter for the benefit of power grabbers.
Let's not argue anymore, Dad. I told you I wouldn't go. The stock's all safe under cover now, Dad. Let's beat it for the house.
Howard.
I'm glad you're driving, Judy, in this storm. Your eyes are younger than mine.
You just sit back and relax, Dr. Christian. I know this old buggy like a book. Besides, you've done your good deed for tonight.
But what a fine, lusty boy. And the Edwards are so happy.
Dr. Christian, do you believe that saying that in a war year, the babies are all boys?
I don't know that I do, Judy. Since there always seems to be a war going on somewhere.
Uh-oh. Dr. Christian, do you feel what I feel?
Don't tell me, Judy. It's a flat.
Yes, a flat. At 2 a.m. on the back mountain road, 10 miles from nowhere, in the middle of a thunderstorm, Judy gets a flat.
Well, fate is not too unkind, Judy, because I see a familiar fence there under the glow of the headlights.
Oh, every place around River Bend's familiar to you. Whose is it?
Jim Brown's.
The man who stamped out of your office today?
Yes, the same, and I doubt if he'll let us in even on a night like this.
Well, which would you rather do? Change a tire in all this mud? Or walk up there and pound on Jim Brown's door?
All right. Come on. Button your coat up tight.
Oh.
It's still raining some, though the clouds are breaking.
Listen to the wind and the corn. Isn't it eerie?
Looks eerie, too. Silhouetted against the stormy sky.
So tall. Like marching soldiers.
Well, here we are. We'll have to pound hard to wake them up.
Is that you? Who's there?
We're here, Jim. Out here. Outside your window.
Who's there? What do you want? What is it?
We're here, Jim. Don't you remember us? Or have you forgotten so soon? It was only yesterday, Jim. Don't you remember? Try to think.
I can't see you.
But you're not trying to see us, Jim. Don't you want to see us?
Yes. Yes, your voices are familiar, but somehow I just can't remember.
Look again, Jim. Look closer now.
All I can see is the corn. Tall, waving stalks of corn. Oh, am I losing my mind?
No, Jim, but you almost lost your faith.
We've come back to save you. Look again, Jim.
The corn. No. No, it can't be. It's changing. What's happening? There are men out there. Rows and rows of men dressed in khaki. I know now. No, no, no! No, you haven't come back! You couldn't! You're dead! Go back where you came from! Go back and let me forget!
Remember me, Jim. Pete Smith. I was your best friend, remember? You and me used to go fishing in Hamilton's pool.
Pete Smith. If I could only see you.
And remember me, Jim? Little Joey Edwards. I lent you the money to get married on. Remember?
And remember me, Cran Thompson? I was the guy that pulled you out of that trench in the Marne just before a hand grenade blew it to bits.
Yes, yes, I remember. But please let me forget. Let me forget. Please go away. I did my part too, didn't I? I was your buddy, wasn't I? Wasn't that enough?
No.
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 It was not enough.
The job isn't finished yet. The war isn't over yet.
Take up where we left off, Jim.
We didn't let you down. Don't let us down, Jim.
What am I to do now? What else can I do?
Look up here, my darling. No, higher. Here in the clouds. See the moon now. Remember me. I'm Martha, your wife. Remember me.
Martha.
How you've suffered, my darling. It's been a long time since I've seen you. How I would love to feel the warmth of your arms. Just once again, Jim. To hear your voice and to hold my baby. But I'm glad you can do all these things, Jim.
Oh, Martha. I wish you were here.
I need your counsel and common sense to help me over a ditch too wide for me to jump alone. Our boy wants to join the Air Corps, Martha.
But, Jim, he's no longer our boy. He belongs to something bigger and finer and greater than you and I. He's no longer a personal thing to us, Jim. He belongs to his people and his country and to the soil from which he came. We must give him gladly and willingly, Jim, so that his children and their children may have the fresh air, the peaceful countryside, and the fields of corn.
Jim. Oh, it's Dr. Christian. Well, what are you doing here?
Jim, Judy and I, our car broke down. You had a flat.
We were coming back from a midnight call. The Edwards have a new baby.
Well, come in. I'll make a light. Oh, I still can't believe it's you, Doctor. Come in and sit down. I was dozing, and I thought I heard voices.
Judy and I talking, no doubt.
And I thought I heard marching feet.
It was the wind and the corn.
Yes, could be. And then again, I wonder.
My Jim, I believe you're not fully awake yet.
Oh, yes, I am, Dr. Christian. Awake to how unfair I've been to try to hold Howard. And what an insult I handed you this morning. Yesterday morning.
Well, forget my part of it, if it means you changed your mind about Howard.
I have, Doctor. Howard went over to see Sarah Lester tonight, and her folks phoned. They'd keep him there on account of the storm. But he'll be back in the morning, and I'll tell him then.
Tell him what?
That there's more at stake in this war than my life or his life. That there's no compromise with treachery. And that if he wants to join up, my prayers and my heart, I'll go with him.
Hello, Judy.
Oh, good evening, Dr. Christie. What have you got there?
Thanksgiving turkey. Jim Brown gave it to me.
How nice. Oh, by the way, have you seen Knight Enterprise?
No, I haven't. Is there something special?
I should say so. You know, I never dreamed I'd live to see the day I'd believe in miracles.
Miracles?
Mm-hmm.
What leads you to that subject, Judy?
Oh, it's about young Howard Brown.
Oh, what's so miraculous about him?
Well, here in the paper, it says he's been given the Distinguished Flying Cross for his exploits in the Pacific.
Oh.
It says here he shot down more jet planes than anyone else in the war and got a direct hit on an airplane carrier. He's been right in the thick of the fighting ever since he got his wings without once getting a scratch. That's what I meant by a miracle.
Yeah, I think the real miracle occurred on the night you and I had a flat in front of Jim Brown's gate.
You mean the night Mr. Brown changed his mind about letting Howard go?
Yes.
It was never quite clear to me what happened. There we were, caught in the storm and pounding on Jim Brown's door. And when he let us in, he's had this change of heart about his son's enlistment.
Well, he explained to me later that he'd had a dream, as he called it. But I think it was only his true inner conscience urging him to the right course.
What kind of dream?
Well, he looked out of his window on his prize corn, on those tall waving rows of corn. And they seemed to him to be men dressed in khaki, his comrades in the last war, calling to him to carry on the fight for freedom He gave the life score.
What a strange hallucination.
Not at all, Judy. You said yourself the corn looked like marching soldiers.
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian Prize play. Our star, Jean Herschel, will be back in a moment to tell you about next week's story. Remember the days when a woman's place was in the home? Now there are more than 14 million working girls in the country. 14 million women who have precious little time for beauty care. But no matter how rushed you may be, you can always squeeze time to look after your hair, especially when the Vaseline hair tonic treatment is so quick and easy. To keep your hair silky smooth and easy to arrange is all you do. Before every shampoo, give the scalp a good Vaseline hair tonic massage. Then wring out a piping hot towel and wrap it around your head. As the towel cools, repeat the process. Then wash your hair thoroughly. That's all, but what results? Your hair has a new softness and sheen, and it lends itself so easily to an attractive new hairdo. These treatments are most important before getting a permanent. Actually, they can make the difference between a dry, tight-looking permanent and one that's soft and flattering. That's because Vaseline Hair Tonic counteracts any tendency toward dryness. Why not start your Vaseline Hair Tonic beauty treatments at once? Get a bottle tonight. And now, here's our star, Jean Herschel, on from Hollywood for a brief visit to New York, and the studio audience here in the heart of Times Square is giving him an enthusiastic hand.
Thank you, friends of the Dr. Christian program, but save your applause for the real star of tonight's play, Yakov. And for that charming young actress, Helen Clare, who doubled in the roles of the wife in the play and Judy Price. Next week's program will be broadcast from Hollywood. Price play selected is the work of Robert Barnes Tuttle, manager of the Adrian College Press at Adrian, Michigan. The play is called Bottled Up, and those of you who enjoy these mystery plays have a thrill in store for you. It will be broadcast from Hollywood next Wednesday on these same stations at the same hour. And until then, I'll say good night.
Mother, when baby is cross and cranky because of everyday rash or chafing, apply gentle Vaseline jelly. It will help to ease baby's discomfort, bring wonderfully soothing, healing relief. The trademark Vaseline is your guarantee of absolute purity. For baby's sake, get Vaseline jelly tonight. Warren Sweeney speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.